just being kind of the underdog. Like, we were picked to finish 10th in the pack. Now we're going into the Sweet 16. You would think, like, okay, you see that we're picked 10th. Like, you would think that we would be, like, feel, like, disrespected or be, like, mad that we were picked. Like, truly for me, like, I saw that and I was like, they have no idea.
Yeah, you're like, bet.
Truly, like, I had no hard feelings about it. I was just like, oh, okay. Like, they have no idea what's coming. Yeah. So, like, I think that was, like, kind of a fun thing for us to, like, rally around is, like, I don't know. It was almost like a positive thing for us. We were like, wow, they have no clue what's coming.
Yeah. Welcome back to Sometimes I Hoop. Today, we've got one of Pac-12's finest joining us on the pod. Quick humble brag, 2024 All-Pac-12 member, 1,000-point club, menace from the three-point line, fearlessly leading Oregon State into the Sweet 16, none other than superstar Taliyah Vonnohoffen. Thanks for hopping on the pod.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
I'm excited to have you here. I feel like it's been a while since we've gotten to chat. Presented by Wendy's. Heading into the Sweet 16, what song is on repeat for you right now?
Oh, what song? I'd have to say, I don't even know. Anything off Drake's album. I've been listening to Drake heavy recently. Got back into that. 7 a.m. on Bridal Path is a song that I just rediscovered. So I've been listening to that one.
Ooh, okay. That's good. I feel like that's a classic vibe heading into tournament. It really all the time. But jumping into women's hoops landscape right now, you guys had a great win over Nebraska in the second round. When they're a tough team to beat, they beat Iowa earlier in the year. You led the team with 19 points, 8 rebounds, 5 threes, and your team had 10 collective blocks. Tell me about the game. What moment were you like, we're going to win, we're going to the Sweet 16? What were the vibes like? Because I know Gilby getting real loud up in there.
Real loud.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you got a whole game to go, but that first quarter, just the way that we came out and the way that we were defending, like you said, a lot of blocks, we were kind of disrupting all their actions, and then we were hitting shots in that first quarter, and everything just felt good. Like you said, the crowd was loud. So in that moment, I was kind of like, yeah, there's no way we lose this game. Obviously, 3 quarters to go, but I mean, it felt good from the start. And then, yeah, I think our defense is what did it. I think held them to 51, I want to say, in there. They're a really good offensive team. They shoot the ball really well. So we did a great job running them off the three-point line and then held their center to good numbers for us. So, yeah, it was just a great defensive effort. And, you know, the crowd kind of carried us through. It was insane.
No, it looked really cool. And I think what you talked about, getting a jump on them, getting a jump on a team like that is really important because they have so many different weapons offensively. And coming off the first round win against Eastern Washington, you had 6 assists, doing a lot more facilitating than scoring, not your best shooting night. So what's that mindset like, having a quick back-to-back weekend, having the understanding that, you know, you lose, you're done. There's not a lot of time to really have that pity. I know I've had games where it's like, okay, that was kind of crappy, but you got to turn it around. And so what is that mindset like, being able to kind of get that get back and have big buckets on Nebraska that next game?
Yeah, I think Eastern is obviously a great team, but just knowing like every round the competition gets tougher and tougher and you kind of got to step up more and more. So I knew that, you know, I can't have performances like that for us to win games going forward. And then just knowing kind of how they play defensively and knowing that we're probably going to get a lot of looks from three just because of the way they hedge ball screens and obviously having to help on Reagan and squeeze off her. So I knew I was going to get some open looks from three. So just like having that mindset going in of, okay, I need to shoot the ball well. I need to make good decisions off pick and rolls because, you know, I'm not going to come off and have my jumper because they're coming out on that. So kind of just going into the game, knowing the reads, and obviously coaches helping me with that. But yeah, you have to have a short memory when it comes to games like that, and it's just on to the next.
Yeah, for sure. There's no time. And like you said, like all the teams are so well scouted, and there's just such a different mindset when you get into tournament time, knowing that every game could be your last. I feel like everybody's so locked into the scout. Like you have to know what read you're going to get. Defensively, everybody's executing. And I feel like the brackets being so tough this year, the competition is so stiff. Like in the first round, we saw Middle Tennessee over Louisville. Second round, Colorado over K-State. We know Colorado's tough. Baylor over Virginia Tech. Talk to me about just the atmosphere of the tournament this year.
Yeah, it's insane. I think the parity in women's basketball every year is just like increasing, and you truly never know you know, what way games are going to go. And like you said, everything's so well scouted. And basketball is kind of a game of, you know, what are you going to give up? And so just knowing what looks you're going to get and having those reads going into it. And then it kind of comes down to, you know, who's going to make better decisions and knock shots down. So it's super exciting kind of to watch as a fan. Like, obviously I'm in the tournament. Yeah. I'm really excited for like our games this weekend, but I'm also like just excited to watch other teams and, you know, growing up, you know, watching every game. And so I kind of still feel like a fan in a way. Like, I'm excited to watch all these other hoopers. I'm obviously locked into our game and all that, but just as a fan of women's basketball and just seeing the game grow, it's super exciting.
No, it's so cool. I feel like every game has been kind of close. There hasn't really been a huge blowout yet. And so I feel like it's so cool. Like, you talked about the parity, like the competition of women's basketball, the level of play, the skill sets have gotten so much better year after year, which is so exciting for the game. And I guess I'm a fan of the tournament now. Like, it's weird to think that I'm this far removed from it. So I'm just strictly a fan nowadays. But it's so exciting to like see all of you guys really showing out on the biggest stages. And you have a big game coming up. You're playing Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. And last time y'all played, you dropped 25. It was a close loss, but you dropped 25. So how are we feeling heading into the game? I feel like they have a lot of heavy hitters, but so do you guys with you, Reagan, Donovan. The list just go on. So what are the vibes going in?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I think last time we played, I was definitely in more of like a scoring role. Like, I was more high volume. That was kind of just my role on that team. So now I feel like I'm more like a playmaker and then kind of just feeling out, you know, if I need to score a lot or if I just need to lock down on D and get the ball to Ray, you know, kind of just feeling that out through all the games. But no, we're feeling really good. I think we match up well, and our team is super deep this year, so we just have so many different looks that we can throw at people, and that's just always exciting because you never know who on our team is going to have a big night. And so yeah, I don't know. I'm just excited to see how it goes and just to be on the stage. I mean, we've been on the Pac-12 network all year, so to finally get some ESPN games, like, that's exciting. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people don't know about our team. And so kind of like the underdogs in that way, especially with like getting that media and that attention. Not that that's what you play for, but, you know, I don't think a lot of people have seen our team play. So I'm just excited for our young guys to be on that stage and just have this opportunity. We're really excited and we're ready.
No, for sure. I think on the pod specifically, like, you guys have come up as a team all the time about being like, okay, Oregon State's kind of a dark horse. Like, they're coming to the tournament. I feel like you talked about on years past, you've definitely been more of a high volume shooter. Like, you had to score 25 night in and night out for you guys to compete. And this year, like, we know you can all get to that, but it's like, that's, you're playing so much more facilitator. And so tell me about the adjustment, because that can be difficult sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. obviously you're the type of person where you want to share the ball and everything, but having that mindset where you have to get those, it's hard to then adjust to, you know, incorporating everybody else, taking the right shots, understanding now in a facilitator role when you still need to be that guy and take over a game. And so has there been an adjustment period for you kind of taking on this new role as you're getting later in your career at Oregon State?
Yeah, I think it's been a little bit of a struggle, honestly, finding that balance of, you know, my priorities this year, I think, are more just leadership and defense and, you know, kind of filling out offensively, you know, what kind of night it's going to be. And I think, obviously, yeah, trying to be more of a facilitator, you know, sometimes I can turn into overpassing or not looking for my own shot.
Because, that balance yeah, is hard to find.
Yeah, that balance, because, you know, if you're not looking for your own shot or you're not looking to score, then things don't open up. So I think... Yeah. I've definitely this year had some games where I'm passing too much, or this is the first year I've been told I need to shoot the ball. Like, that's never been a problem.
Like, this is new.
Yeah. But, like, especially to start the year, coaches were getting on me a lot for passing up open looks. And so just kind of adjusting to that and knowing that, you know, I still need to keep my confidence as a shooter and as a scorer, even though I am in that role of trying to create for others. So it's definitely been a growing process of figuring out that balance. And I think I'm at a point now where, you know, I can come out, I can get 20, or, I mean, I think against Cal was the first game of my career, I didn't take a single shot. And I
Seriously?
Thought I played, yeah, I thought I played, but, like, I mean, Scott talked to me after the game and he was like, you had such an impact on that game and you didn't take a single shot. And, like, I came out of the game feeling like I played well, like I did my defensive assignment, you know, I distributed and I didn't take a single shot. And if you would have told me my freshman year, like that was going to happen and I was going to come out of a game saying I played well with a goose egg on the stash, yeah. would have been like, what? Mm-hmm. So I think just growing as a player in that role has been everything. And I feel like it's made me way more versatile and, you know, can my stats can look way different night to night, but it's just that overall impact on the game is my focus. So,
well, I think that's really special. And that's so crazy that you didn't take a single shot, because like just knowing you from a competitor and like being on the scout, it's like, take away the three, take away this, da, 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 like all these different things. And so I think what you said, that piece about like finding that balance between understanding when it's your time. Like if you don't take it, then it messes up the whole flow of the offense. And on one hand, you're like, oh, I have Reggie and I have this person, I have that person, I want to get them the ball, but also like people still need to play you honest. And so it's that balance, finding that. And it's hard, like it's a struggle to find that. But I think that you have, and I think that's part of the reason why you guys are doing so well this year. Like Scott talked about, like you impact the game in so many different ways, which is so cool to see. But we're going to get back more into that. Talk more about the tournament. Also in your side of the bracket, we have South Carolina and Indiana, which is another big game coming up, which I'm interested about. I'm really excited for the other Portland region with NC State and Stanford. I feel like, obviously, like I want Stanford to win, but I'm really interested to watch that matchup because I feel like there's a lot of different heavy hitters on both sides. But is there a matchup that you see coming up, whether it be USC Baylor, UConn Duke, I'm interested, Iowa, Colorado, LSU, UCLA? Like, there's so many good games. What games are you really looking forward to? Maybe even calling an upset as we head into this weekend.
Yeah, I think those last two, LSU, UCLA, and then Iowa, Colorado.
Yeah.
I'm excited for, because I went to the game in Seattle last year where Iowa played Colorado. You know, on my crutches, I was in Honda Pledge Arena.
Yeah.
I was able to watch that game, and Colorado's roster is obviously super similar to last year. So I'm excited for that matchup. I think I got Colorado on this one. I want the upset.
Yeah.
But and then that LSU UCLA game too. I'm rooting for the whole Pac-12. Like, I think it'd be super cool to see, especially in our last year, just to see the West Coast come through. Like, I'm excited for all the Pac-12 teams.
I agree. Back to pack, always, always rocking with the pack. But I think I didn't even realize that this was a rematch between Iowa and Colorado. You're so right, because last year that was really close. But I called Colorado early in the year with LSU, and I feel like I'm going to back them again, because you can literally never count them out. And playing against them, it's really annoying. But like now being away from it, I love watching them play and seeing Jalen and Tamia and Quay and everybody. They are just dogs, like night in and night out. And I really enjoy watching Erinette this year. I feel like she has grown so much. But thinking about the tournament, I want to fuel the madness a little bit. And these next questions are brought to you by our lovely sponsor, Wendy's. So which teams in the tournament so far have made you do a double take? A team that's maybe gone further than you thought, or like put up a stronger fight in earlier rounds?
Probably Colorado. I think going to play at K-State, I think they sold it out.
Yeah.
That's not an easy place to play. So going into that environment, a sold out crowd, and then not only to get the upset, but I think they won by like 10.
Yeah.
So convincingly, like, that's so hard to do. I mean, I got to play in Gill, and I can't even imagine like coming into Gill to play a tournament game as an opposed team. Like, that's so tough. So like, you know, if you win by 10 in that environment, you know, that's kind of a blowout like anywhere else. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, it doesn't do it justice. So that was super impressive to me. And I wasn't able to watch that game, but I remember just being like, Colorado won, like, my goodness. So that one was shocking to me.
No, I agree. I think what you said, like taking into account the atmosphere, it definitely is more of a blowout than 10. Like, it's a lot more going into that, because going against an opposing crowd is already so much. And a place like K-State, where they're having an amazing year, all these record-breaking things, that's tough. So we talked about team, but what players are impressing you this tournament that maybe you hadn't expected, or kind of like an unsung hero that really came to light right now?
Well, and I'm talking about Colorado.
We're just like, loving on Colorado right now.
No, we are. But you said it earlier, Erinette. Nettie has such a great year. And I think she had 7 steals against Kansas State.
Which is like, what? That's not the usual.
Crazy. And, you know, she's an Oregon kid and very close with Bendu, who's one of my former teammates. And so just to see her growth, I mean, she's so good and so smooth. And then, yeah, obviously had a huge performance these first two rounds. So both ends of the floor. I mean, she's really impressed me all year. And then obviously had a great game against K-State. But yeah, lots of Colorado love today.
You just love it on the Buffs right now. But, not, you know, on one hand, like, we love the Buffs, but also not too much because the Buffs be getting under my skin. They really do.
We'll move on.
But you talked about, like, with K-State and these crazy fan bases that we have right now. And I feel like even sometimes heading into these neutral sites in the Sweet 16 and on, it doesn't always feel like a neutral site with the way that these fan bases travel. Mm-hmm. So what fan base of the Sweet 16 teams do you feel like has the craziest fans right now?
I mean, I think in terms of traveling, it would probably be Iowa or UConn.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you're probably not going to see a lot of Oregon State fans in Albany, New York.
In New York is hard. Yeah.
But yeah, I know. I mean, if we were in Portland, I think I would have to say us, but they got us over here. So probably not this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think teams like Iowa and UConn, you know, they have fans all over. I mean, there was someone wearing a Caitlin Clark jersey at our game. So
seriously?
Yeah, and I was just like,
not in Corvallis. What? What are you doing here?
But I think it's just, you know, those are, when you think women's basketball right now, you know, you think people like Caitlin Clark. So I think it's just good for the game, and, you know, they're bringing fans wherever they're at. So, yeah, it's just good for the game, and the turnouts this year have been crazy. So many records being broken. So you just love to see it no matter who it is.
I agree. I feel like what we're going to see this year is just like there's so many players that people are following like crazy. And I feel like even though they're watching for them, I think even if those teams do get eliminated, like people are going to continue to watch because of the pub around the tournament this year and the skill level. Like you may come to watch one person, but then you always end up finding somebody on the other team that you love. And you're like, oh, now I want to follow them, this and that. And so I feel like it's so exciting. And I would also throw the South Carolina fan base into the mix because I be seeing them up on Twitter. And I know they travel. They be everywhere. Gamecock Nation like follows me and I see them commenting under every single post. They're amazing. But we talked about the Pac-12 and the immense amount of talent that we have. Which player in the pack do you feel like is the toughest player to guard?
Ooh, that's tough.
I feel like
I don't know if this is my answer, but guarding Hannah Jump is just the the worst thing. I mean, I'm coming off 8 screens of possession. I'm just chasing this girl around. So I think from from an always moving standpoint of just like all the actions that you do to get her open, and obviously like already knowing you have to chase her off everything, it's like flare pin down, and then she goes to that, and she's just like running a marathon. I mean, she's literally like a track star, and that's what's so impressive of like her ability to shoot, because it's like that shot comes after she had just been running for 25 seconds straight.
No, you're completely right.
So I think from that perspective, I would say her. And then charisma, too. I think just her bag's so deep that it's like, okay, whatever our tendencies are, you want her to go this way and take this shot. And then she hits it and you're like, okay, all right, what about now?
What next? Okay, I did my job.
Yeah, she's just one of those players. She doesn't have a super strong tendency. She can kind of just get to any shot, and she's a gamer and, you know, wants big moments and just super athletic and can kind of do it all. So I would say those two for sure.
Yeah, those two are two good picks, especially the Hannah Jump one being her teammate. I always just think about like how within the offense there's so many actions for her. I've never thought of it defensively having to guard that. Like that would be exhausting because being her teammate, I'm just like, come on, Hannah, like run faster. I know you're not tired. Like do this. Think about it defensively, like y'all really be chasing her around and she gets that shot off in less than a second. So like if you're late, it's happening. And charisma is just a bucket. Like all around. She's very annoying to guard. So I agree with that one as well. But we've touched on a little bit of just like all the different players with talent. And I still want to give some other players their flowers heading into the tournament time. So without giving away Scott's immensely deep like scouting report that he has, I want you to break down just how good some of these players are that I'm going to name within the pack. So we'll start off with my girl, who's most improved player, obviously, Kiki Irofen. Tell me about Kiki and what makes her so good.
I think she's just so physical, and then her ability, I mean, obviously super athletic, kind of in that mid-post area, just her ability to face up. Yeah. And then, you know, now that she's added kind of hitting that shot over the top, so you have to respect that. And then her first step, you know, if you let her go baseline, it's over.
It's done.
Just that quick rip through. Yeah, and then obviously her ability to O-board and just, like, anticipate shots and that athleticism. I had to guard her at the end of our game at home because Ray was out, so we went small. So I was running the one on offense, but I was on Kiki for the last few minutes, and I was just, like, fighting for my life down there. Yeah, she's just the combination of size, athleticism, and then, you know, her bag's deep. And, you know, most improved player, obviously, it's gotten deeper this year. She's incredible, and we saw it in that game, whoever they just played at home. I forgot, but.
Oh, yeah, yes, when they played Iowa State, dropping 41.
Yeah, that was insane performance. Yeah. So she's definitely up next, and she's most improved player for a reason.
No, I can't believe you had to guard her because I didn't even like guarding her in practice. Like, she's a beast. It's so hard to deal with. So, you know, props to you for doing it and getting down there because that's a lot to handle. My next player on the list, we talked a little about UCLA and Charisma. Their other star guard, Kiki Rice. I feel like she's also coming to her own a lot this year, running the point for them, doing a lot of different things. So tell me about Kiki, the other Kiki in the pack. Wow.
The other Kiki. Yeah, she's an amazing floor general. Like you said, running the one for them, I think. And she's also been hitting more threes recently, like adding that, like stretching the floor a little bit more. I think she's hit a few in this tournament. And so, yeah, she's such a solid point guard and obviously an amazing defender. And, yeah, just facilitates their whole offense, makes really good decisions, and then finishes super well around the rim, like gets up and is super athletic too. So she kind of is like their utility player. Just everything kind of runs through her. And, you know, allowing Charisma to play off the ball and be more of a scorer too is super important for them. So, yeah, I'm super impressed by her, and she's had a great year as well.
I agree. And then our last one before we just get all about you. We talked a lot about Colorado, and I feel like their engine is Jalen Sherrod. She does so much for them. So tell me about Jalen.
Yeah, she's an amazing player as well. Just her almost like – it's almost like an intimidation factor with her. Like she just wants to overwhelm you, kind of does a lot of like rah-rah, like whatever. That's
even like before the game. Like she'd be sitting on the bench watching the other team warm up. I'm like – whoa, don't you need to be getting your shots up? Like, it's a mental game.
She's got the face mask on, just like watching.
Yes, literally.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what makes her. And she's obviously a great defender. But, you know, she came out against us both times and hit, like, you know, you're kind of playing her for the drive because she's so quick and you have to respect that. Mm-hmm. And both games against us, she came out and, like, hit a shot over the top to start the game. And we're kind of just like, oh, it's like that. Okay.
Yeah. Let's change the scheme.
Yeah, and she just leads them. I mean, in every category, obviously, defensively, she's a great point guard, distributor, and then especially this year, you know, hitting shots when they need you to, and like especially like when teams are going under ball screens, you know, that's a lot of the times that's kind of what you're doing, and then her hitting shots behind it, just adding that to her bag has been amazing, and then just being kind of the voice and the leader of that team, I think, is everything for them. And I think they're as good as she is every night. And so, yeah, like you said, she's their engine and she's what makes them so great. And so it's cool to see. And I love seeing, you know, success of everyone in the pack. So I'm happy for them. And I hope they can do great on the rest of their run for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited to see how far she takes them because she's definitely what makes them go. And she's the heart and soul of that team. Like emotionally, watching her get her team so hyped up, I remember like being next to her and then watching her in their huddle. And I'm like, okay, Jalen, pipe down. We don't need to get them that hyped up right now. Like it's insane how hyped Colorado be getting during their games.
Yeah.
But before we talk about you and your hoop journey, my question of the day has been the past few times. But question of the day is going to be a little bit off the rails, is what is the biggest animal you feel like you could beat in a fist fight? With the face you made, with no weapons, you're in their terrain, what animal could you beat in a fist fight?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Biggest animal. Let's see. All the ones I can think of, I definitely couldn't.
What's like a what? What's coming to mind?
I mean, the first one was gorilla, so she's
no,
like,
oh, that's a no. That's a no.
I know. I'm just thinking of big ones. I don't. Can you give me like options?
Okay. Well, mine is a giraffe because I feel like I could take out the knees and then kind of like go from there. So I feel like that's a classic one. People in the past have said, oh, what have people said? I feel like somebody said a bear. My roommate said a shark. I don't remember who said a bear. Hannah said she could take a giraffe too. My roommate said a shark, which is insane.
A shark is crazy.
Yeah. I think Alyssa Peely said bear. And so honestly.
That's fair. Anyone else?
I feel like she's the only one I was allowed to say bear. Somebody else has said kangaroo. Yeah, oh, what's yours?
Okay, I'm going to say kangaroo. Because they be like boxing for real.
That's what I'm saying. So you think you could box a kangaroo? Because that's insane.
Maybe like, have you seen those pictures of like the really buff ones?
Like, yes, those are scary.
Yeah, okay. If it looks like that, no. But I feel like they're just the average kangaroo.
Yeah.
My money's on me.
An average Joe. Wow. Okay. Honestly, I like the confidence. I like the confidence a lot. So that's amazing.
I'm not going down without a fight.
Okay. Good for you. Okay. So getting into you now, let's talk about your early hoop journey. And so you started off in Tri-Cities, Washington. Who put the ball into your hands?
I think for me, like, I don't remember ever not having a ball in my hands. I'm the youngest of three, so my older sisters are 9 and 4 years older than me. So, like, since I can remember, they were in the gym. And so it kind of just, like, was something that I immediately did, like, as soon as I could walk. Like, I had a ball in my hands. So I just say, like, my older sisters, and then my mom played hoops in college, so I kind of just grew up around it.
That's how mine was, too. It's just, like, it's what's happening. You're hooping. Yeah. Did you feel like growing up you modeled your game after any specific player?
I feel like I get asked that a lot. Like, for me, I grew up just watching my older sisters. I mean, obviously, there was a lot of like WNBA and college players that I watched, but at like a young age, it was all just watching my older sisters and their teammates too. Like, I remember kind of having some of their AAU teammates that, you know, went D1 and were kind of big time. So I remember like watching them. And then like later years, like middle school, then it started to be like Maya Moore, you know, things like that. But I think from a young age, yeah, it was just growing up watching my big sisters play.
That is so sweet. Oh my gosh. That is like the sweetest answer I think I've ever heard. I love that. I love that so much. But so talking about your journey, I feel like there's always a moment in somebody's career when they're kind of like, I'm getting better than my competition. I'm getting better than people in my area, all these different things. When for you, did you realize like, okay, I could take this somewhere. Like I'm getting abnormally good at this.
Oh, this is a funny question. I don't know. I think from a young age, like, you could kind of see. I was also, I mean, I'm only, like, 5'10", but I hit 5'9", I think, in, like, fifth grade. Like, I grew super early. Mm-hmm. So I was always, like, way bigger, faster, stronger than anyone when I was, like, really little. So I think from a young age, like, I was playing 3 or 4 years up in AAU and all those things. And so I think when it got to a point like middle school, when I was playing 3 or 4 years up and I was like kind of hooping, then I was like, oh, okay. And then middle school is when you know, you start getting the letters, and then that's kind of when it's like, oh, this is real. So I don't know if there was ever a moment, but I think just overall, like being able to play up and then still, you know, be one of the better players, I think is kind of just like the overall. That's when I was like, okay, I could do something with this.
You're completely right. Like playing up in age groups is very humbling. And I never thought I was very good. But then once you get to your own age group, you're like, oh, I'm kind of a bucket. I'm kind of like that. And honestly, you saying that recruiting letters came in middle school so casually is not the normal, Talia. Many people start getting recruited in high school. Oh. Letters do not come in middle school for everyone. So that was kind of crazy, but you know, that's amazing because you just been a bucket basically. So wow.
Well, just when I was.
Just wow. Just like a quick humble brag that you did for yourself. So yeah, you know, letters came to me when I was 11.
I know you were getting letters in middle school. But don't even
We're
do
not
that.
Talking about me. We're not here I to talk about
you
me.
You probably got letters in elementary school. Do not
no,
start.
Ma'am. No, ma'am. We're not talking about me. So anywho, about your recruiting. You kind of had an unorthodox start to your college career, graduating high school early, joined in January, happy the season. And honestly, like you started getting buckets in the pack immediately. Like it was insane how you came in so hot. So tell me about that decision of starting college early and why you wanted to go to Oregon State.
Yeah, I think the decision was just like, well, first of all, my high school season had gotten canceled or postponed or whatever. So I already wasn't going to have like a senior year. And that whole year was already online. Where I'm from in Washington, like everything was kind of closed down. And so, you know, I was just kind of working out. Like I had my trainer and we would go to like the local gym that would allow us to. But it was like clay courts. Like I had to go outside a lot. Like it was just not a good situation. And I was just like literally all I was doing was like working out. Like we were doing 3 a days just because it was like there was nothing else to do. And so I was just like really itching to like play, honestly. Like that's kind of what it came down to. There was no high school ball, no AAU. And I was just like bored. Like I was just like, I mean, obviously like working out and like the grind is fun, but like you miss like that competitive like anything. And so I think there was a kid at Gonzaga that we had heard went early, and that was the first I heard of it. And then I think Olivia Miles at Notre Dame was like one of the next ones. And then we kind of started to look into it. I only needed like art and PE credits, I think, to graduate. And so I had to get the PE credits waived. And then I did like some online like art class. And then I was just like, might as well, like, what else am I doing?
Yeah.
So the process of like, okay, I'm going to do this to like me being on campus, I think was like 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was like super fast, literally like it was the fastest turnaround. And so I honestly don't even like remember a lot of those 2 weeks. Like it was just, it all happened so fast. And I literally was like, well, let's do it. And then all of a sudden I'm on campus. I had to quarantine for 5 days.
Oh, God. Not the quarantine.
You remember those days.
Oh, God.
And then, so I quarantined for 5 days. My first practice with the team was on a Friday. And then I played that Sunday.
Yeah.
So I had 2 practices. And then, yeah, we played Washington State that Sunday. So, like, literally it all happened so fast that, like, I couldn't even explain it. Like, I was just like, what am I doing today?
Yeah.
And I was like, all I could focus on. So, yeah, I think the decision was just like, I might as well go get this experience and like kind of get a head start and enroll early because like, what else am I doing right now? Like, it kind of like made sense for me and it wasn't too far from home. So my family could come see me. And so, yeah, it was just, it kind of made sense for everything and it was a good experience.
Yeah, you're like, may as well, whatever, 2 practices, get out there, play against a Pac-12 team, like ready to go.
That's the thing that's crazy is like, I didn't think I was going to play.
Yeah.
Like I went to like go be in the practices and like get the experience, like have that extra time to learn the system and like get my body ready to play the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And then like that Sunday, I think I played 25 minutes.
You were in there immediately, Talia, immediately.
Yeah. So that was not the plan, but it worked out.
Oh my God. That's so crazy. And I remember hearing about it. We were like, she's doing, because you had just came on your visit in the fall. And so we were like, and now she's where? Like, just like that. It was crazy. But it was so cool to be able to see you do that. Like after now hearing it was 2 practices is actually wild. You know, you made that adjustment. It seemed from the outside very seamless. That adjustment was easy, high school to college ball. Was it hard to kind of integrate to a team halfway through the season, 2 practices, you're getting in because they've been together summer session months on end. So what was that like coming in, learning the system in 2 days, having Scott play you for 25 minutes the next game? Like what was that adjustment period like?
Yeah, I think that for me, like what I can attribute it to is just like a basketball IQ. I feel like that's like one of the things that has kind of like from a young age been like my best asset. And so I think for me going from you know, high school where, you know, you're not respectfully, like, you're not playing with people with like the highest basketball IQ.
Yeah. It's a different level.
It's a different level. So like kind of the frustrations that come with that. So then going into college and, you know, the way Scott operates his system is so like cerebral and it like, it just makes so much sense. So like, honestly, the transition, not, I don't want to say it was easier, but it was like in the sense that like everything made sense. Everyone was on the same page. Everyone kind of understood the concepts. And so like you kind of knew where people were going to be. And it was all just like, it just like there was such more of an IQ than what you play with in high school. And so like that kind of made it easier for me because it's like, okay, if I drive to the side that the post is on, like she's going to know that she needs to relocate.
Yeah, she knows the circle around. She knows the other things. Yes.
So that kind of was what made it easier for me to adjust is kind of just having that like IQ already. And I had watched Oregon State play a lot. And so not that I knew like the play calls and stuff, but I knew for the most part, like a lot of the actions that they ran and, you know, the way that they called the plays and the way that they taught it to me was super easy to understand. Mm-hmm. And they also weren't doing the most complicated stuff when I was out there. He kind of knew not to like, they didn't throw too much at me.
Yeah, don't get too crazy. Not too much.
Yeah, they kind of kept it simple. So, I think just the IQ was the biggest thing for adjusting.
Yeah, I mean, I think I didn't even think about that in high school. Like, you know, you're trying to get people to understand the actions. Like, why are you doing this? And like doing it without me dribbling at you and telling you to get out of my way as I'm already down through the paint. Like, it was just things that didn't need to be said. And when you get to college, everybody has that, which is so nice. But so you get there early. All these things are going well. Do you feel like you had like a welcome to college basketball moment? Like, holy crap, this is really happening. Cause like, I know I did freshman year. We played that Oregon team that had Sabrina, Ruthie, Satu, everybody in the world. And I was like, holy crap, you know, what's going on? Like Sabrina gave me a bucket. Satu gave me a bucket. I had to go sit on the bench. So was there a moment for you where you're like, okay, like I'm playing college ball now. I'm in the pack. This is for real.
I think honestly, it was probably that first year playing you guys, just because that was the fastest like things had come at me up to that point, just like this speed and pace that you guys play with, like obviously adjusting to college basketball that quickly. And then it was just, it's almost like a different speed playing like your offense versus other offenses and just how fast it comes at you.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there was like a moment, but I just remember that was the first, because honestly, like the first few games, like I was fine, but that was the first game where I was like, there's so much going on right now. Yeah. And just from like on defense, like going from playing high schoolers and then like a month later you're playing Stanford, and that was the year you guys won it. So it's like you're playing not only at the highest level, but the best team at the highest level. Mm-hmm. And I just remember like, and I think I was guarding Lexi Hull. So she's just running around.
She's going.
She's just flying. And so, I would say that was the first moment where I was like, well, okay, I need to lock in right now.
Well, no, we were quick that year, but I remember when we played you guys, like the coaches made a point. They were like, they have a girl who just came out of high school. So you guys are going to lock in this scout, all these different things. We were like, whoa, like it became a thing. Like we're not doing this with Talia today. So that was, so just so you know, you were circled on that scouting report that it was not happening for you that day. Anywho, I remember meeting you on your official visit. And then obviously we played against each other for like however many years. But what, we're going to talk about our first impressions. And so do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
The first impression of you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll go first.
Okay, you go first.
Well, I think Stanford was my first like real visit because I had gone to Oregon State already, but it was just like a quick like, because I could drive there. I was like, I'm just going to go to the game. So it wasn't like a planned out visit. So this was my first like real, it wasn't my official visit, but I went with like Cam and Jenna. And so it was kind of like that official visit experience. And just you guys were so nice, but you specifically like, I remember being like, wow, this is actually like the nicest person I've ever met in my life. Like, literally, you're so welcoming. And you and Fran, I think, were kind of the ones that kind of were with me everywhere. But I just remember you're so nice, like answered all my questions. And also, like, I had seen you like obviously on social media and like you're a big deal. So I was like, I know who Haley Jones is. No, and like, Stop. But it would have been so easy for you to, like, you know, have like an ego or whatever, like, but you were just so down to earth. And not that I wasn't expecting that, but I was like, oh my gosh, this is Haley Jones. And she's actually just like the sweetest person ever. So that was what I thought.
Wow. Well, thank you. From my side, you were so sweet. And like me and Fran, I remember us talking about it because we were kind of driving you everywhere. We were rolling with you. And I remember you, we were with you and you went somewhere. And Fran and I were like, we really hope she comes here. She's so cool. And then we were like talking. We're like, do we think that she thinks that we're cool? Are we being too weird right now? And I remember we were just trying to like figure out how to make it happen. And it didn't, which was fine. But I feel like we made a little connection so that every time I played against you guys, we would keep in touch. We would talk about this and that, see how things were going. But I just thought, like, first of all, we had watched all your highlight. Like, you know, you do your little FBI digging before somebody comes on a visit. You see what they're like. So we watched all your highlights. We're like, wow, she's a bucket. But you came in. You were so nice. You were so fun. Like, I feel like you fit in. Like, you were doing everything that we were doing, trying new things, which I think was just great. But wow, very heartwarming, Talia. Oh, my gosh. Anywho, so.
We're having a moment on the pod.
Having a moment. Back to basketball. So you only played 13 games that season. What upperclassmen on that team were you learning from and like looking up to your first season there?
Aaliyah Goodman, for sure. That was like her team at the time. She was the senior point guard and then just has that personality of just like coach on the floor, leader. And then now she's my coach now.
Yeah.
And so I get asked about that a lot, but like I see Aaliyah in her role as an assistant was like kind of her role to me coming in that first year. Like, I mean, obviously I didn't know a lot of things. Like, yeah, I didn't know anything. So helping me with like play calls and different things, like she kind of was like an assistant coach to me that year. So now to have her actually on staff and kind of be in that role for, you know, my younger teammates is super cool because she's kind of was my mentor at first and kind of, you know, paved the way for me and has kind of been the blueprint for me, especially this year being that leader. And, you know, we do like the talks before practices, the talks before games, and like that was her role. And like now it's mine. So kind of just modeling everything after what she did in that leadership role that year has kind of been everything for me. And so just to have her be back around the program is super cool.
Yeah. No, I think that's really special. Like having that older teammate that is that mentor for you and now having her come back. Like when I saw her post on Instagram and she was going back, I was like, yeah, like that fits. Like you belong at Oregon State. Like playing against her that year and the year prior, like she was already a coach on the floor. Like you were talking about it. You could see it. She ran everything. She was so vocal. And so to hear that she's back and having that influence, I bet it's really cool for you to see. Like now these younger players that you're mentoring, like now you get to have both in that situation, which I think is really cool. Mm-hmm. But talking about kind of the Oregon State trajectory, I feel like you guys have always been so talented, but in years past, these and your first couple seasons, it wasn't always translating. And I feel like in the pack, we always knew, like, you're not going to go up to Gil and, like, just la-di-da, not lock in, play them. Like, you guys are always so well-prepared, so much talent, but it just wasn't really translating. Ending last year, not how you guys wanted it to. And that's tough for any athlete and knowing you as such a competitor. And so having that understanding that, you know, you guys are building something special, was it hard to trust the process in those years when things weren't always coming to fruition?
Yeah, I think so. And I think obviously when you commit somewhere, you kind of have like a vision of what the, not what lineups are going to be, but like who you're going to play with. Mm-hmm. And I remember like the two classes before me were kind of stacked, and then coming in with the other freshman that was with me, like McDonald's All-American, and you have this like kind of vision of like what things are going to look like, how you're going to be playing within it, within the system with these other players. And then, you know, COVID happens, transfer portal, whole thing. And so things look so much different than you thought they were.
Yeah.
And so obviously certain aspects of that are frustrating and you have to adjust and things change. And so I think it was just a learning process of learning different roles and having to work with different pieces. And yeah, it was really hard. Like that first year, I don't even know what we finished in the pack. And then last year only winning 4 games. But like you said, like we feel like we have the talent and we have the pieces. It's kind of just like last year, super young. And then coming into this year, obviously kind of kept the same core group, but now we have a whole year of experience under our belt. And now, like, we have a group that has played together and has that experience together. And so I think that's kind of been the difference for us this year is, like, we all know the system. We've all grown in our roles and in within the system. And so I think that's been a huge part of our success is just that, you know, we've all had time in this program. And we kind of, you know, stuck it out and, you know, figured out what we needed to do to get better, to win games. And so it's been so fun this year, honestly, just problem solving that and figuring it out. And also just being kind of the underdog. Like, we were picked to finish 10th in the pack. Now we're going into the Sweet 16. Just having that mentality of, like, no one knows how good we can be except for us. And so just, it's just been so fun with this group. And we don't have any seniors, so we're still really young.
That's scary. That's scary. Yeah. No, but I think that's so cool that, I mean, even when you talk about, like, the returners, like, you guys are still a young team and you're doing this and, like, you're literally returning everybody next year, which is crazy. But I think for you to be able to, you know, see a vision, have it change, and then kind of still stick with that path, have the trust in the staff, in your teammates, with you and AJ kind of building with the two of you, really. I think that that's so special. And it's been really cool because Oregon State's always been good. Final Four runs, always at the top of the pack. Mm-hmm. And so for you guys to really come out and kind of make it all happen this year, I think is so amazing to see. And your defense has been dominant all season long. Reagan on the inside, you, Donovan, AJ, like, the list just goes on with the different weapons. And like you said, it could be somebody different on every single night, which is hard for an opponent to scout. And so did you feel like there was a point in the season, in the summer, whatever, where you were like, okay, like, we can make a Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four run. Like, we can really be a contender in the Pac-12. When do you feel like it all kind of came together for you to see the trajectory of what you guys are doing now?
Yeah, I think for me, when I had that moment was probably when we went to Italy. Mm-hmm. And I still...
Dang, that's early. Like, that's early.
No, it was. But I think that's kind of like... one of my, I don't know if I'd call it a fault, but like, I've seen that in every team. Like, that's kind of, I've always had that belief in every team I'm on, just like as a competitor. But I think Italy, because I wasn't back yet, so I still couldn't play from my surgery. And so I was just like on the sidelines, but just watching the way that, you know, you have those 10 practices leading up to it, which also I think has contributed to our success this year. Like, those 10 practices of, like, that's 30 hours where, you know, we had that extra time to, like, learn each other and, like, then going overseas and getting that experience of just, like, getting to know each other better. Like, I truly think that has played a huge role in our success this season, just, like, that bonus time. But just the way that we played over there and, like, how fun it was, and we really emphasized, like, playing fast and, like, getting up and pressuring, which isn't really what we do, but we kind of – like, emphasize that, and it was just super fun. And so seeing that, like, from the bench, like, how good we can be, and I'm not even, like, a part of it. I'm just like, dang, like, and the freshmen coming in, just their ability to defend and run, and we have a super athletic freshman group that kind of just, like, changed the dynamic of the team. That was truly when I was like, oh, like, we could really do this. Yeah. And then it's exciting because, you know, we're picked to finish 10th. Like, no one has us on any sort of radar, and for me, that was exciting. I was just like, y'all don't even know what we have coming for you. So I would say that trip was really when I was like, truly, I did believe that. Like, I had no reason to probably, but I was like, yeah, we could go far.
Yeah. Well, I love that it came so early. You just knew. And that's amazing confidence. And I think it must have been so interesting for you to, like, just watch that from a sideline perspective, like, for you getting to learn the games, doing everything since you weren't able to play yet. And I think what you talked about, like, the chemistry that you build in the offseason means everything throughout the year in terms of on-court chemistry, just getting along in the locker room, doing all these different things. It really pays dividends in the long run. But talking about coming off of an injury, this and that, coming into this year, what do you feel like were the biggest things that you had to focus on, biggest growth in your game that you saw moving into this season?
I think definitely defense has been, like, my biggest point of growth and just point of emphasis. I think to be a great team, to be a Final Four team, and, you know, to accomplish what we want to accomplish, like, we have to have a top 10 defense. Like, that's always a goal. I mean, if you look at all the Final Four teams in years past, and, like, we've pulled this up and looked at the stats, like, it's all top 10 defenses. Like, it's not a secret that that's what it takes to get to the Final Four. And so I think just having conversations about that and then really understanding that and knowing like that I play a big role in if we're going to have a top 10 defense, and then just taking that so seriously. And, you know, this year, like starting maybe not the first few weeks, but there was definitely a turning point in Pac-12 where I went and I was like, I want this matchup. And so taking on that role, I think, has been just the biggest growth in my game. And then also learning to embrace it and enjoy it and just know that, you know, that's what it takes. And being in a leadership role and having that mindset, it kind of spreads throughout the team to where, like, defense is our identity. And even you saw it in Nebraska. I think we went, like, 8 minutes without scoring a field goal, mm-hmm. which obviously not okay. Like, that's not that that's good, yeah, but, like, our defense, like, allowed us to weather that and still, like, maintain, like, a comfortable lead throughout, like, a drought like that. And, you know, that's what it takes in March, is to have that sort of a defense. So I think that's definitely, like, been a night and day difference for me this year.
Yeah, well, I think that, like you talked about, all of those different analytics that you look at of Final Four teams, like, you see the defense, you see the rebounding, assist to turnover ratios, like, all those different things. I remember, like, you pull up those stats and you look at that throughout the season to see where you're ranking. Yeah. And so I think, for you, you know, hearing Scott talk about how you're another coach out there with your basketball IQ, with your leadership, your ability to execute, with you being the head of the snake and then you buying into defense, everything just falls after you. And I think that's so important. And for you to understand that you have that type of power is really important for you to understand. Mm-hmm. But stepping into this leadership role, even still so young, which is crazy to think about, like, you still have more time there. But stepping into this leadership role that you have, you know, when did you kind of step into that role? Or how did you adjust to now being the older one on the team, even though you're not even very old in the grand scheme of things?
Yeah, I think it's kind of been interesting, like, the last few years, because I've been in a weird way, like, in a leadership role since my freshman year, just because, you know, we had the turnover after that first year, and then we didn't have a ton of returners. And then especially going into my sophomore year, like, my sophomore year at Oregon State, I had played the most games and the most minutes in an Oregon State uniform that team.
Okay, yeah.
As a sophomore. And so, like, that, not that I felt pressure, but, like, in a way that puts me in a really big leadership role, which is a lot for a sophomore, like, sophomore year stuff. And then, you know, with people leaving, not having that, you know, like, senior to really guide, like, kind of like how Aaliyah did my first year, like, kind of losing that, it put me in a leadership role that I don't think I was necessarily ready for. I don't think anyone could be ready for a role like that as a sophomore. And so I think going through that my first couple years and just doing things wrong or seeing what I could have done better is what has prepared me for this year, just because, like, I've been in situations where maybe I didn't do the right thing or I didn't say the right thing or, you know, whatever it is. I think, like, those experiences have really prepared me for this year, so that even though I am a junior and I still do have one more year left, like, I've kind of been through a lot to prepare me for it. So I think it's just been a unique situation with having to be in a leadership role so early. I think has prepared me for this year. And then obviously having AJ with me and, you know, transfers that have been in leadership roles at other schools. And I think that's what's really cool about our group too, is that it kind of comes from everywhere. Mm-hmm. And we have that standard of, like, holding each other accountable that we haven't had in years past, where it's like, it's coming from everyone. Like, it can't just be me holding everyone accountable. Like, we have conversations where I'm like, y'all need to be getting on me too. Like, this just needs to be, you know, the culture. And I think we've done a really great job of that this year. And that's what's allowed us to be as good as we are, especially defensively.
Yeah. No, I think that's so interesting. I never put together that as a sophomore, like, you were really that guy for Oregon State for like, since you were young, even coming in as a high school senior, like, you were already a go-to in the offense. And so to be able to have that leadership role so young is, it's hard. It's like, you're already going through so much, trying to figure things out, and you're, like, leading people older than you. It's almost an awkward situation to be in sometimes. But I think that you did it with grace, and it's seamless, and what you're doing now is special, the way that you're leading this team into the tournament. But a little bit about your style of play. You do everything out there, as we've talked about. Playmaker, facilitator, all the things. But what's always been a staple is the sharpshooter three. And, like, not even just, like, on three-point line, steps back. Like, we're guarding you five paces behind the three-point line. And so have you always kind of had that be a part of your game? Has it always been a thing? And just also just from playing against you, like, you're a competitor. Like, you're out there, you're fiery, you're putting in the work. And, like, seeing your defense this year, like, you're being a dog out there. You're being the Jalen Sherrod of Oregon State right now. Like, you're out there getting in people's grills, loving the defense, getting hyped up off of it. And so just talk to me about your style of play.
Yeah, I think the deep threes have always been, like, my favorite thing, like, growing up. That was always, I mean, I, like, high school, I was pulling up from, like, the volleyball line, like, just for fun. Yeah. Like, that's been kind of my thing. I think this year, my role is different, so I haven't shot as many threes. And like I said, like, going through that kind of struggle of I wasn't looking for it necessarily as much. I kind of lost that edge as, like, a shooter because I am trying to, you know, facilitate, be a passer, be more in that role. And I think, like, the Nebraska game kind of kind of came out of me again, where I was just like, yeah, no, I'm just letting this go. Like, I had, like, a moment to myself before the game where I was just like, I've worked for this my whole life. Like, I've gotten the shots up. Like, I need to just come out and shoot if I'm open. Like, that's what it's going to take. And so I kind of had that realization. But yeah, I don't know. I think passing has always been my favorite thing to do. Like, I love doing the no looks and, like, the behind the backs. That's kind of been, like, who I am, like, my whole life, like, mm-hmm. growing up. And obviously, like, can't be too flashy in college. Like, we gotta take care of the ball.
Rain it in a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, not too much. But that's always been my favorite thing for sure. And then, you know, adding defense into it. Not that I was ever a terrible defender, but I think now this year, just, like, taking it personally, yeah. Matchups and different assignments, and then just the level of accuracy you have to play with to really, like, shut a great player down, mm-hmm. and, like, the angles and, you know, watching film and learning from the coaches on, you know, you need to close out at this angle, you can't let her do this, like, yeah. all those little details is kind of, like, the separator, especially this time of year. So I've, like, really had fun with that and really, like, embraced it, and am really starting to enjoy, like, those matchups and those challenges. So I think that's just, like, another aspect that I've added to the game for sure.
Yeah, no, I think it, and you can see it, like, it makes a difference. And I think that mm-hmm. it's just going to grow. Like, now that you are, I don't know, I feel like defense, I'm still learning to love it, honestly. And so I feel like, you know, once you learn to love it and you love it, like, yeah. everything is just going to open up. And, like, you take it personally and all these different things start to happen. But defensively as a team, you guys have also been amazing. And I feel like mm-hmm. just as a team, you have a lot of different weapons, like we talked about. You definitely have a big three going with Reagan averaging a double-double, 17-10, and Tamia averaging 11-7, which is, like, wild for them to be doing at that young of an age. And even last year, like, they came in, and I remember, like, scouting them. And it's like, okay, they're freshmen, they're good. And then you play against them, be like, wow, they're really good. Like, they already have it together. And so you guys are all dominating on both ends with an amazing supporting cast as well, everybody buying into their role. So talk to me about Reagan and Tamia and what they're doing for you to guys have that kind of power duo on the low blocks. And Tamia obviously stepping out, hitting threes for no apparent reason, which is very annoying as an opponent. So what is it like having those two that you can always depend on night in and night out?
It's incredible. I think Ray is kind of like the foundation of, you know, having a post that can score one-on-one and can defend one-on-one is necessary to win, especially in March, like to beat great teams. You have to be able to win that matchup. And so having her size and just, like, balance, her ability, her hands, like, yeah. she catches everything. That's just incredible. And then for both of them, just how much they've grown on the defensive end this year has been insane. And then having Tamia, who, you know, plays the four, but now can step off and play the five. And we saw against Nebraska, I mean, we went small for that fourth quarter, and she did amazing against their five and, like, had a few blocks, because that's a nightmare for a team to guard. I mean, she's picking and popping, like, at yeah. the five, especially in the Pac-12. Like, you don't see that a lot with five. So her being able to step out and do that when, you know, Ray's in foul trouble or needs a break or whatever it is, just having that threat at the four where it's like she can guard any big, but, you know, she can stretch and shoot the three. And then if you try to put someone smaller on her, like, she can go post up. So just, like, that versatility, having that in the offense is, I mean, a nightmare for yeah. the other team. And it's just so fun to play with, too. So those two definitely have been critical for our offense. But then just how much they've grown on defense. Like, I can't even say enough about it. Like, they're not, they've always been good defenders, but now like they're great defenders, and having that presence down there is everything, especially at this time of year. Yeah. You need it. So yeah, they're incredible, and they're sophomores.
Yeah, seriously. So. I think what you said about defense, like it makes all the difference to have those rim protectors, especially moving through the rest of the tournament. And in the pack, yeah, with all the different bigs you have, Cam, Kiki, Lauren, Aaronette, all these different people. And so I think moving through the rest of the tournament, that's just going to do dividends for y'all.
Yeah.
But y'all haven't been to the tournament since your freshman year. And now not only are you there, but you're a three seed, which is a different type of vibe. Getting to host, doing the whole thing. And the tournament is really unlike anything else. So I feel like even this year, with all the extra pub around it, all the visibility, all the different things, how has it been managing the basketball side of things and staying focused, but also media side of things, schoolwork, all the pressures that comes on a court and off the court? What has it been like for you in this tournament so far?
Yeah, and I would say, like, this feels like my first, like, tournament experience, because my first 2 years, it was NIT, and then we didn't make postseason, so it was that first year was the COVID year,
yeah.
So then that just didn't even feel real.
It was a lot.
Yeah, so I feel like this is, like, my real first, like, NCAA tournament, like, full experience. So we had finals week, when was it, 2 weeks ago,
uh-huh.
I think, like, the week, like, getting ready for, you know, Eastern and Nebraska was finals week for us.
Yeah.
So going through, like, having to prepare for finals, and then it's like, okay, you have to do a press conference this day. It's definitely, like, overwhelming.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that finals is over. So now it's just, like, focusing on basketball and media. But, you know, I enjoy it, and I just try to talk about my teammates a lot in media, honestly. That keeps it, like, enjoyable for me, because I – sitting up there answering the same questions over and over again can get
boring,
you know, boring. And just, like, you want to be doing anything else.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's part of it. And I know that our fans, like, really appreciate hearing our perspective on stuff. And
yeah,
I've seen them, like, comment on the press conferences and just, like, how much it means to them. So I think it's super cool, and it's a part of it. It helps grow the game and kind of lets fans into what you're thinking and seeing your perspectives, which, you know, from a fan perspective, like, you can appreciate. So I get that it's part of it, but, you know, just doing whatever you can to just stay locked in and stay present and not stress too much over it. I think especially once you've been in college long enough, it kind of just becomes like, you're a robot, kind of, like, you just
yeah, it's just the way it goes.
Question, and then, like, you're out. And so I feel like at this point in my career, it's not too bad.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And then talking about staying locked in for the tournament, you and the whole team, do you guys have a team motto or a mantra moving through this tournament?
I don't know if we have, like, a specific thing. I kind of talked about this in the press conference the other day. Like, we do really emphasize to each other, like, just staying present and taking it all in. Like, obviously we're here to win and we're going to win, but, you know, even if we don't, like, this is a big deal what we're doing and what we've accomplished up to this point. So just staying present, being grateful for everything and not getting too caught up in all the things. All the things.
Yes.
For sure. It's something that we talk a lot about with each other. And so I think that just helps you clear your mind and just stay present, is just having that gratitude just to be here. And, you know, we talk so much, like, to start the season of, like, what our goals are, what we want to do, and, like, you know, making the tournament. Obviously we want a Final Four run, but just to be in the Sweet 16 with the group that we have and coming off last year and all the adversity we faced, like, it's special that we're here. So obviously not done yet, but, you know, just kind of sitting in that gratitude of, like, just being able to be here, especially from, like, growing up watching this tournament. And it's like, now we are those players that little girls are growing up watching. And so I think if you have that perspective, like, it makes it so easy to just stay locked in, stay present, and just enjoy these moments with each other.
Yeah, I love that. And I always think it's so weird to, like, when you do take a step back and realize that you're the ones people are watching now, it's like, I'm still figuring things out. Like, I still don't know what's going on right now, but to understand that there are little girls out there watching you, they want to be you. Like, you guys are now those role models is so exciting. And I think playing with that mindset is easy to kind of make things light, not take too seriously, because you want to perform at the highest level, but you don't want to, like, overdo your nerves for the game or overdo the excitement. So it's always striking that balance. But
yeah, for sure.
Like you talk about, like, make this Sweet 16. You guys have a bright future. No seniors on the team. Returning literally everybody next season, which is going to be huge. And like, being projected 10th in the pack is insane to be where you guys are now. Like, at the beginning of the season, I saw that. I was like, are we sure? Like, I personally would never count Scott out of anything. Just, and then thinking about like the talent that you guys have too, I think it's amazing to see how you guys have really like taken on this underdog story and doing what you're doing and seeing your growth, I think is really special as well. Not only as a player, but as a leader.
Yeah. And what's crazy too, is like, you would think like, okay, you see that we're picked 10th, like you would think that we would be like, feel disrespected yeah. or be like, mad that we were picked. Like, truly for me, like, I saw that and I was like, they have no idea.
Yeah, you're like, bleh.
Yeah. Like, I thought, I like, truly, like, I had no hard feelings about it. I was just like, oh, okay. Like, we'll see. Like, I thought it was kind of, and like, they have no idea what's coming. So, like, I think that was like kind of a fun thing for us to like rally around is like, I don't know. It was almost like a positive thing for us. We were like, wow, they have no clue what's coming. And it was almost like an advantage in a way of like...
For sure. You're just blindsided people.
Yeah, for sure.
Headed into our last section here. It's rapid fire answers. It's our vibe check. Here we go. Ready? Okay. What's the drill you never want to see on the practice plan?
Oh, Aaliyah just walked in.
Oh, no. Tell her. You got to tell us in front of her.
Hey, what's the drill? What's the drill? Yeah, well, weaves, but that's how we start practice every day.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, no, weaves are literally horrible. Like, I'd be want to walk out of the gym during weaves.
Yeah, or like free throw running, we do that too.
Ew. Okay. Nope. Game winning shot or game winning steal?
Game winning shot.
Yeah. And one or three pointer?
And one.
Okay. Group TikTok or solo TikTok?
Group TikTok.
Yeah. All right. Who's the biggest trash talker? It could be on your team or somebody that you played against.
I feel like there's not a lot going on in the pack. I got this question the other day, and I think I said Cam.
I was going to say, I just left the pack. There's a lot of trash talk that be going down up in there.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably Cam or Sherrod, but they haven't even really said a lot to me. It's just like their vibe. Just gets like,
I see that. All right, who's the biggest flopper?
Oh, I don't know if I can answer these questions.
You can. If you want to cop out, you can say one of your teammates.
I feel like none of us really flop.
Okay, fine. All right, so if you could pick a teammate to play 2-on-2 with, but you can't pick one of your current teammates, who would you pick? You don't have to say Aaliyah because she's in the room. You can give us somebody else.
I need a big, though. Probably Marie Gulich.
Oh, wow. Okay, an Oregon State alum. Love it. What's your favorite pregame hype song?
Probably this song Forever that has like Drake, Eminem, Kanye, all that.
That's a good one. And our last question is biggest basketball ick.
Biggest flopping. No, I'm
like, I'm about to say, now you want to say flopping. Now you want to say it.
Honestly, that's a big one.
Oh my God. Okay, flopping. Well, Talia, you've been amazing. I know you got to go prep for the game.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for being on.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, of course. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Stay tuned for another episode of Sometimes I Hoop as the tournament unfolds.
ThePlayersTribune.com